this series has been that we might be able to give glory to God as we consider what is glorious about God. I've been working with this idea, which is that we experience glory when someone or something moves us to a powerful sense of praise or respect, honor, or thankfulness. And so we've looked at Jesus being the glory of God, the cross being the place where God shows his glory, God transforming our lives into increasing levels of glory, God being glorified in the church. Last week, if you forgot the point with all the chocolates, it was about that God would be glorified in our speech and service. And this has been a really, I think, excellent way to focus us around Thanksgiving Sunday. So as a church, it's something we want to see. We want to see God glorified in our lives and in our church. I wonder if the world wants to see that. Does the world want to see that? And how can we see God's glory extend beyond our church, beyond Christians? Because God is, frankly, too great, too good to keep that to ourselves, to not say anything about God and to not have the world acknowledge his glory. And so we're going to read this passage and look at this today. How can we extend God's glory beyond the church? Paul writes, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. The God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not proclaim ourselves, we proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in clay jars, so that it may be made clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be visible in our bodies. For while we live, we are always being given up to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be made visible in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. But just as we have the same spirit of faith that is in accordance with Scripture, I believed and so I spoke, we also believe and so we speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will bring us with you into his presence. Yes, everything is for your sake, so that grace, as it extends to more and more people, may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. Let's pray. God, as we consider today about extending your glory into the world that does not acknowledge you, we ask that you might stir our hearts. It seems to me that not only do we want to be acknowledging and glorifying you, God, in these kinds of walls, but God, actually, you have an intention for the world that all of it will declare your glory. So, God, as we listen to your word, as we apply it to our lives, we ask that we might live for you and make you known. In Jesus' name. Amen. So how can we see God's glory extend past the church? The Apostle Paul says that the world actually doesn't glorify God. The world is full of people who neither glorified God as God nor gave thanks to him. So how do those people see God's glory, give God glory? Well, the vision that the prophet Isaiah has in Isaiah chapter 11, and also the one that Habakkuk echoes again, is that when God rescues the world, the glory that Israel knew will be made known to the whole world. And Tanya said the Bible verse that comes from Isaiah 11 and Habakkuk 2, that the whole earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Theologian Tom Wright, he loves this verse. If you know him at all, you know that he quotes it quite a lot. And he says of this verse that this whole creation, this wonderful world, is like a beautiful silver goblet, destined to be filled, flooded to overflowing with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea, flooding in to every harbour and inlet at the fullest of tides. So there's this kind of vision in Isaiah and Habakkuk that the knowledge of God will be permeating every atom, every piece of all of creation, and that the whole world will know God and give God glory. Isaiah actually says that knowing God in that way will change the world, so that if you know the passage, that wolf will lie with lamb and the child will be able to put its hand into a snake's hole and not fear being bitten. In other words, the world will be changed from a place of threat to a place of peace, a place of oppression to a place of justice. In Isaiah 66, the prophecy finishes with God saying that he will gather people from every nation and language, and they'll come and see my glory. And that he will do this by sending his people to the nations and to the distant islands that have not heard of my fame or seen my glory. They will proclaim my glory, these people that he sends, among the nations, and they'll bring all your people from all the nations to my holy mountain in Jerusalem as an offering to the Lord. Israel knew God's glory. Israel lived in God's glory. They'd actually gone through the sea. They knew the God's miracles. They knew God rescuing them. And God says, actually, this isn't just for you, Israel. My intention is to take what you know and throw it open out to the world and to bring people to come and see my glory, people who have not heard of my fame or seen my glory. That's God's intention, Isaiah says. Well, what Isaiah prophesied, what Habakkuk also spoke to, is fulfilled in Jesus. And from our reading today, we heard this. We heard that the God of this age has blinded the minds of the unbelievers. And this is not a full stop. The God of this age blinds people, but they don't have to stay blind, because God was able to take the chaos at the start of Genesis and the darkness at the start of Genesis and speak light into that and speak new life into that. And Paul says God can make light shine out of darkness, and he can make light shine in people's hearts so that they will see the knowledge of the glory of God displayed in the face of Christ. What Bible passage do you think he is thinking of when he is saying these words? Do you think it sounds a bit like Isaiah? That he's one of these sent ones going out into the world that does not know of God's fame and his glory. And as he's going out into the world, God is shining light so that people can see the knowledge of the glory of God displayed in the face of Christ. And he's doing it through Paul. And how is he doing it through Paul? Well, he does it this way. Paul preaches the good news of Jesus. He tells people about Jesus as Lord. And it turns out, as we read this passage, that that is hard and difficult work. Telling people about Jesus as Lord seems like such an innocuous message that would mean nothing to an empire that's got a lot of control and power. It'd mean nothing to a Jewish religion that's been established for 1,000-something years. But it turns out it means something to the God of this age. And that Paul says that when I go out and I preach the good news of Jesus as Lord, I am afflicted, I am oppressed, I am persecuted, I am struck down. This is not easy work for Paul to go out and share with people the light of the knowledge of the glory of God displayed in the face of Christ. Not only is it not easy work, he knows he is limited. What does he say about himself? I am a jar of clay. I go out and I talk to people who persecute me and give me a hard time and afflict me, and all I am is a jar of clay. I am a broken vessel, not fit for the message that I'm bringing, but I'm bringing it anyway. He knows this is hard work. He knows he is limited, but he also knows that this is what God is doing. That God is actually using him to display the glory of God to all the world. That God is shining light in people's hearts. And this is the verse that I want us to really kind of carry today. That he does that in verse 15, so that grace, as it extends to more and more people, may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. That as Paul goes out into a pretty tough world that's not that interested, people are actually responding to the grace of God. And more people are responding to the grace of God, which causes thanksgiving. And as people give thanks, God is glorified. God is glorified. I like that illustration Tanya gave us about the exponential effect. God is glorified. He's given glory as his grace extends to more and more people. I mean, Paul knows this because he's seeing it happen in front of his eyes. But we know this too. I think the thing that we mostly celebrate over the last 12 months is God's work in people's lives, bringing them to him. What we do is we see that work and we go, thank you, God, it glorifies him. And to be honest, we want more, don't we? Well, I hope you do. It's great that, say, six people get baptized. It's great that, say, three people from unchurched backgrounds are kind of coming and connecting. But you want more. Actually, God, do more of that. And what happens is you do see more of that at work in the world, it causes more thanksgiving. And all of this is done to the overflow to the glory of God. Paul knows he's like on the front line of God's prophecy in Isaiah 11. He knows he's on the front line of God's work as one of his sent ones. He's the guy who's going to the distant islands that have not heard of my fame or seen my glory. And then he knows as he's proclaiming the glory of God in the face of Jesus, he's seeing the earth being filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. But Paul's only the start of that tide. It's building. He's just seeing the start of it all. There's this project called the Joshua Project. And what it does is it looks at the global trends around mission. It's predominantly interested in the people who have never heard about Jesus and there aren't enough people in their country to tell them about Jesus. It's called the unreached people. It's worth looking at. It's a website I can put somewhere. But if you go to the next slide, thanks, Jasmine. The current estimate of people who are considered unreached in the world, basically 42% of the world is unreached. 3.1 billion people live in unreached people groups. In other words, they don't know any Christians, and there are so few Christians that they're unlikely to run into those Christians. All right, 42% of the world have no chance of hearing Jesus. So that might sound like, wow, that's a big job. There's a lot of people that don't know about Jesus. Well, that's true. But if we look at kind of just a couple of highlights of the positive things that are going on in terms of the growth of Christian faith, if you go to the next slide, there is an amazing growth of Christ followers. There are more Bible translations being made now than there ever have been. The Global South is off the top of my head right now. So Global South are the people who aren't in what we call the West. They're like in the 1040 window, poor nations. And now the majority Christians. So all of Africa, 67% of Christians in the world come from the Global South. Not from Europe, not from America, not from Australia, not from New Zealand, Canada. They come from other countries. And that means that most of them are now sending more people. And then finally, there's a growth of people group movements in the world. In 1949, in China, there were less than 1 million believers. Today, they estimate that there are 80 to 100 million believers. There are as many Christ followers in China as there are in North America. Globally, they estimate that there are 50,000 people becoming Christ followers every day. And 3,500 churches are being planted around the world every week. In Iran, a country that we're connected to, in 1979, they had 500 known Christ followers. Today, they estimate possibly 1 million Christ followers, and sadly, many have had to flee the country. We should pray for the Iranians because they are definitely open to the gospel, but even in our city, there are roughly 4,500-5,000 Iranians, and there would be a total of 100 believers. So they have rich opportunity, but not enough people to tell, and no stable church, including the one that meets in our building. No stable church, and no one to bring effective, meaningful, deep discipleship. There's a positive trend. There's some challenges, though. If you go to the next slide, thanks, Jazzy. Oh, next one after that. I've done that one. It's a loss of focus on reaching the world. Lots of churches in the West are focusing more of their money and their time on the West. The absolute number of non-believers is growing. If we just go to the next slide, Jasmine. Yes, so every minute there are 35 new Christ followers, but at the same time, 158 people are being born into the world. So every year, 18,200,000 new followers of Jesus, and at the same time, 83 million people. For every 10 new Christ followers, there are 45 new individuals added to the world's population. Even though Christianity is the evangelical Christianity is the fastest growing faith in the world, it is not growing fast enough to keep up with the population growth, which means that there will be more and more people who don't know Jesus in the world just because of the birth rate. What that equates to is that there are more people alive today that do not know Christ than at any other time in history. Did you get your head around that? Actually, one other point. There are more people alive today who are followers of Jesus than the sum total of all the other people who followed Jesus in all of history. And then there are more people who are alive today who do not know Jesus than the sum total of all of history. So we've still got some work to do. Maybe less work than Paul had. But all this to say is that God is doing his work. He's being given glory as his grace extends to more and more people. Globally, through Jesus, God is filling the earth with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And how does that happen? How does God do that? Reach an incredible number of people. He does that by sending people who go to places where they have never heard of my fame nor my glory. That's how he does it. He did it with Paul, who through incredible duress told people about Jesus. We've heard from Owen about some stories of people that are actually on islands, and faithful people are present there telling people about the glory of God in the face of Jesus because people have never heard of it. And it's vital that our church and all churches still send people and still go. If we all sent and we all went, well, if we all sent and people went, then we would barely keep up with the growth in the world. But God is extending his glory. And I want to say to us that global missions matters to us. We can't be one of those churches that forgets the global Great Commission and turns its focus onto us and our people and our nation and ourselves. We just can't be that church. It's not right, and it's not what God is doing. God is actually interested in the whole world and seeing that the whole world knows him and glorifies him. It's vital as well that we do support work where we see God's life. In this church, over, say, let's say a 15-year period, if I was to take where God is doing work in this church and people are coming to know Jesus, I would say over a 15-year period, without exception, the international ministry would have been the one where most people were coming to faith. Right? International ministry. Alan leads that, and if we were having baptisms in this church, it was because international people were committing their lives to Jesus. Now, frankly, I think that says something about us as Aussies trying to reach our own, but it also says something about the international ministry, that God's work is being fruitful there. And people, unlike, as we know, our Aussie mates and family, people are open to God because they're spiritual seekers. They grew up in countries where my friend, who's Cameron, he says, if you come to Iran, Jason, you feel the spirituality. The place is a spiritual place. Everyone expects that the presence of God, whether you name it as Allah or you name it as some other kind of thing, you expect God to be present in your world, in the world. Well, these people are seekers. And where we have opportunity to support work that is in that area, then we should. And we should support work with the Iranian church, for instance. And they need us. And we should pray for them that God has given glory as his grace extends to more and more Iranians in Australia and back in Iran. I asked Mehdi, the leader of the group, and he said to me, I said, what are you hoping for this church? And he said, what we hope is that the Iranian people in Adelaide will come to know Jesus, and we work hard so that the Christians in Iran can follow Jesus. Little church of probably currently only 12 people is passionately interested in their nation coming to know God. And we ought to be part of that, because this is what God is doing as he extends his glory into the world. But what about us? What about our friends, our family, those who are far from God but they're close to us? How can grace reach more and more of those people? And how can that cause thanksgiving to the overflow to the glory of God? That's a big question that many Australian churches are failing to answer. Many. There are so many churches, Baptist, Anglican, Uniting. Fortunately, not as many Baptists as the rest, but there are so many churches, too many churches, who have never seen anybody come to faith in 10, 15, 20 years. If you don't do that, and you're not even winning your own children, 14% of children currently who grow up, this is right across all denominations, 14% of children who grow up in church continue to follow Jesus. It means you will decline. There is a reason why the global south is outpacing us. Not only are there people more interested, but they are telling more people. So what about us? What can we do to play our part? I've got three things for you to think about in terms of you being part of God extending his glory in the world. One is keep increasing opportunities. Keep doing good. The thing that I feel right at this moment in the life of our church is, and maybe this is too much, but we have extended ourselves into multitudes of places where we're doing good. That's your lives, where you are involved, and then as a corporate group, in terms of our schools, the council, the various programs that we run. And what that does is it increases our opportunity to meet people who are wanting to know God. That's what happens when you do good in the world, is you start to meet people who want to give God glory. So I feel like as I think about the life of our church, right at this minute, I feel like, wow, God's got a lot of opportunities going through us. And that's a good thing, is we ought to have many opportunities. Take risks to help people follow Jesus. Take risks to help others follow. Too many of us live our Christian lives, has got used to a certain kind of quietism. A certain kind of, I just be quiet, do my thing. It's the faith that's good for me, and I'm glad it's good for you, but you've forgotten that it's actually good for others. And they need to hear about it. Take some risks to help others follow. Invite people along to things. I mentioned the Engage Work Faith. They're all about trying to help people in the workforce, invite their workmates along. But church, share with them your faith, what it means. Ask questions, but take risks. And then the last thing is persist. Don't be discouraged. I don't think any of us have got the lived experience of Paul. We're afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be made visible in our bodies. I don't think any of us have suffered for our faith and for preaching the good news of Jesus like Paul has. He was literally stoned. People threw rocks at him. He was kicked out of towns. Run out of town. And you know what he would do? Go to the next town. That man's a nutcase for Jesus. For Jesus. Crazy guy. But he knew that God was using him as one of those ones who would go to the distant islands that have not heard of my fame or seen my glory. I'm going. I'm telling. I'm proclaiming. And in our life, don't be discouraged. Keep persisting. Because God has given glory as his grace extends to more and more people. And what will happen when some of us see some people respond to the grace of God, what will happen is all of us will thank him. We're going to share in your delight. And we're going to give thanks to God in heaven. It's not just you that's doing this, actually, it's all of us. And we will celebrate whenever somebody comes to faith. It'll excite us all. Let's pray. God, I do pray that you might have glory in this church because your grace is extending to more and more people. I pray that our support of those who work from us in the across the globe, that we might be able to rejoice with them when people follow you. I think of the Hutchinson family who were still sowing seeds. I pray, Lord, that they and their team might be able to see fruit from that seed. I pray for the people that Owen supports and encourages. And we know that many of them are seeing great fruit. And we want to pray, God, that you might sustain them and keep them. Help us share in their joy as more people follow. Pray for the Iranian church and their difficult work of building a church and proclaiming their love of Jesus to their people. Help them. Help especially the leaders as they refocus for the coming year. Help them have a vision of seeing more coming to know you. And I would pray, Jesus, that you'll bless them with the grace of more people coming to know you. And then us. Lord, I think Paul had it tough. And sometimes I think we think we've got it tough. That we're surrounded by just, it seems, hard soil on people's lives. That's actually not true. Neither, we don't have it as tough as Paul, I think. But alongside that, there are people who need your life. And Lord, we know the way to point them. I pray that we might grow in this. Help us point people to you, Jesus, so that they may know the knowledge of the glory of God shown to us in the face of Christ. God, I pray in the coming year that you will extend your glory through the work of our church, and that we can know that we are also one of the sent ones, sent by you to bring people to you. Pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know if you're able, but as we are finishing our service today, bring the team back up. As we're finishing our service today, we do have a fellowship offering that we use to support people who are vulnerable. We take that up in the second week of the month. So if you're able to give to that, then great. And as I said, that is being used at the moment to some degree. God bless. I'll be at the end of service, I'll be at the front of the church.